Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the Gospel of Luke, as he gives his account of Jesus' transfiguration. He writes in verse 30, "And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem." This is God's word. The 2019 Oscars were awarded 1 week ago. And whether or not you pay any attention to such things, you certainly are aware of what it means to walk the red carpet. It's the glamorous means by which Hollywood stars enter the auditorium, and cable news networks, entertainment networks devote hours to red carpet coverage as paparazzi and lucky fans strain to get as close as possible. It's all about the grand entrance. I bring this up because we have an incredible paradox in Jesus' transfiguration. On the mountain, Jesus starts to shine with brilliant divine light. This looks like it's going to be a supernatural grand entrance of some sort, especially when Moses and Elijah arrive. But then Jesus starts talking with them, and instead of talking about making a grand entrance, they talk about making a grand exit. They talk about Jesus' departure. What was going on? The author of this gospel, St. Luke, gives us a tantalizing bit of information. The word Luke uses for departure, there it is, even if you're not fluent in Greek, I'm sure you can make it out, is exodon, or exodus. Two of the greatest heroes of the Old Testament have reappeared to talk with Jesus about his grand exit, his exodus, that he's about to undergo in Jerusalem. And who better to talk to Jesus about this than the man who led the original Exodus? Moses' exodus from Pharaoh and slavery in Egypt is crucial for understanding the pattern of how God works his will in the world. God leads Moses and the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea to Mount Sinai, and then beyond in a spectacular exodus from slavery to freedom. And this exodus was not without great pain. But God was always faithful to his promises, and he got his people to where he said he would take them. Now, Elijah's exodus is a bit different. His exodus happened when he departed this world. Elijah made a grand exit before the eyes of his successor, Elisha. A fiery chariot swooped down from above, collected Elijah, and launched him heavenward in a windstorm. Now, Elijah also had experienced suffering in a very famous dark night of the soul, but persevered through the power of God's word, through the still, small voice of God that whispered to him. And now Elijah and Moses stand with Jesus and speak with him, knowing that his exodus will be the greatest of all. What Jesus is about to do will lead billions of people out of slavery. He will bring them through life-giving water into a time of wilderness wandering, during which he will speak God's words and miraculously feed them until they enter a greater land. See how that works? Jesus will deliver us from the slavery of sin by taking our place in death and will launch us heavenward because He rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, and is preparing a place for us in the mansion of His Father. Just as Moses and Elijah experienced, Jesus' exodus will be painful and will, in fact, make Him feel utterly rejected by His Father, the highest cost He could possibly pay. But that's what faithfulness does. It looks to the final goal and considers that the highest good, which in this case was our acceptance. Jesus, leading this exodus, was willing to be rejected so that we could be accepted. Transfiguration is about Jesus preparing to make a history-changing exodus, getting ready to make His grand exit. Are you prepared for your grand exit from life? I'm not really talking about funeral arrangements as much as I'm talking about the arrangement of your soul. Sadly, many people have failed to be prepared for their grand exit. Sadly, as sin ravages bodies and souls, despair is the default as many stand before death's door. Regrets abound as thoughts of, I wish I would have, or I suppose I should have, or I think I could have, flood the brain. And worse yet is the conviction of heart that comes with a lifetime of neglecting and disrespecting God. But listen, you can be prepared for your grand exit from this world because Jesus' grand exit has forgiven you and paid your entrance into heaven. Jesus became our substitute under God's law. He lived the law perfectly, then offered this perfect achievement as a sacrifice on Calvary's cross. This is the currency with which He has paid for your sin. Your balance sheet now reads zero, paid in full. This is the announcement of new life. This is the invitation of the Holy Spirit. Humble yourself and let Jesus pay for you. Some time ago, a pastor was asked to preach the message at a friend's wedding. Because the groom had been blessed with means, he paid housing for the whole wedding party at a 5-star hotel. And on the morning of the wedding, the pastor went downstairs to the restaurant to eat his breakfast and work on his sermon, you know, last-minute tweaks. And looking at the menu, he was somewhat perplexed. There were no prices next to any of the entrees. But he wasn't too concerned. He thought to himself, how expensive can scrambled eggs and bacon and coffee and orange juice be? Well, he found out. The waiter slipped him the bill and he almost choked. The total was about 4 times the amount of what he would normally pay for breakfast. And to his embarrassment, all he had on him was a $20 bill, which wasn't going to touch the price. Beginning to sweat, he stared at the bill as if that was going to change the numbers on it somehow. And he didn't notice the waiter approaching until he heard the waiter clearing his throat. And looking embarrassed, the waiter gently removed the bill from his hand and said, "Excuse me, Reverend Smith, I was not supposed to give you this. Please forgive my foolishness. Your bill has already been paid, including the tip, as is everything you may want or need in this hotel." flooded with relief, but trying to play it cool, the pastor replied, "Oh, don't worry at all about me seeing the bill. But tell me, how did you know my name?" The waiter winked and said, "It is our privilege and pleasure to know all our guests' names." Knowing that neither you nor I could afford the price of heaven's admission, Jesus paid the price in full with his blood and his death, and assures you that everything about heaven will be free. He knows your name and everything about you. And as a pledge of his love, he has placed his name upon you in holy baptism. And with that name comes every amenity of his kingdom. People will always be concerned with first impressions and grand entrances, but Jesus has something else in mind. Transfiguration tells us he was more interested with a grand exit, his exodus. And since that's true, you have a land of promise waiting for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this vision of Jesus transfigured on the mountaintop. It shows us his true and full identity as your Son. And yet we see him at a moment in his life where there was still yet work to do. Hard work. Nearly impossible work that would take him to the cross. That grand exit, that exodus that he had to do, he did willingly and obediently, but there is a great cost involved, and that he willingly paid so that we could belong to you. May the knowledge that this is what you were willing to do for us flood us with gratefulness and thankfulness, and may the rest of our lives be lived as a thank offering to you. Jesus truly is your beloved Son. You are well pleased with him, and because that is true, you are well pleased with us. Help us to listen to every word of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.